This is the Texas Longhorn Post Game Show on the Austin Radio Network. Call 512-447-3776 to join the conversation. Now, to break down the game and take your calls, it's Kevin Dunn and Trey Elling.
You can only do so much with your talent, but you have to do something with it. Texas is driving up 17-3 in the first half. And this thing ends at 32-24. Plenty of blame to go around. This is the Texas Post Game Show with Kevin Dunn and Trey Elling. John Reichel will be taking your calls, 512-447-3776. 512-447-3776. Once again, Texas jumps out to an early lead. The script is really good. Everything that you're looking for in a first quarter, maybe even early second quarter, is there. Can you add to that? Can you sustain that? And Texas could not. They got outcoached, and sorry, I've been banging on this for about 2 years, but the talent isn't where you thought the guy in his mom's basement thought it was at 17, and now they're 21. This could be a much longer year than we thought. Trey, you can tell I'm fired up. I'm pissed off. Texas should have won this game. I get back to 17-3. You're driving. You've got a robber-type concept on the defense, on a slant, and it goes the other way, and everything fell apart from that point on.
Casey Thompson needed to recognize what was going on right there, but Kevin, more than anything else,
he'd better recognize.
But what I am a little bit more frustrated at than anything else is this football team's propensity to wear down in the second halves, and more specifically, the fourth quarter of ball games, and just getting utterly gouged by the opposition's rushing attack. And the realize that's frustrating to me is because this is what you're going to continue to see the rest of the way.
Yeah.
We looked at the schedule at the start of the year and we're like, the second half of the schedule is going to be a little bit difficult for this football team. But if they're good at the run, they should be able to win most of these games. I have no reason to believe that they're anywhere close to good at stopping the opposition's rushing attack. We've seen it with Arkansas, we saw it with Oklahoma last week, and we saw it with Oklahoma State this week, where their lead back, who, look, he's a nice player. He is not
he's an okay player.
He is a nice is like how your dad used to call things cute.
He's a 5.5 you take home from 6th Street at 210.
From Daiquiri Factory.
But I was thinking more Bob's, but yeah, I'm with you.
Let's maybe meet in the middle and go touche.
311.
But he went for 120 plus yards in the fourth quarter. And even though he didn't technically get into the end zone, he helped secure a victory for Oklahoma State. An Oklahoma State team that, yeah, they're ranked, they're undefeated, but they're not some sort of world beater here.
One of the guys who follows us, he's a nice guy. I think he is. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's an a-hole. But he seems like a nice guy. And it's Josh. And he was like, I told all y'all. And first off, don't bring that to me. Because I've been the one for years now, since it came off of LHN, telling you the talent is not where it needs to be. And you keep on telling me, not you, but that the, well, we're gonna recruiting ranking, and this is Yeah, when he was 16, and the fat guy in his mom's basement told you, bumped him up to a 3 or 4 or 4 to 5 and told you that your talent ranking is that good. The talent is not good here, especially on the offensive line. Especially on the offensive line. Especially on the offensive line. And other spots. Jadae Barron had the best ball skills I've seen from a Texas DB on a pooch kick today. That I've seen in 10 years. Okay? That's where we're at. Understand that. That's where this talent is at. And it's been at for a long time. The coaching did not adjust. It didn't adjust well, period. and they have not adjusted well in the three losses now in the second half. They haven't. They didn't. PK didn't adjust well against Tech in a blowout. They haven't adjusted well. Criticism on them. Give them time. I talked with an All-American first-round pick last night. We had a heart-to-heart, right? Getting dinner.
Was it Bo Jackson?
It was. How'd you nail that? Jerry Gray flagged him down here in 84, so what do you want to say about that? And we talked about, he said, you have to give this guy some time. That's been, there's a talent deficiency here.
Yeah.
Let's get to that. And the coaching didn't adjust. So if you can't have multiple ideas in your head and you can't float all those there, then don't call 447-3776.
Oh my gosh, what a setup there. This football team was on the verge of, I don't want to say putting the game away, because as we saw last week, no lead is safe with this Texas football team on the whole in the second half of something. But
that's fair.
Prior to the Casey Thompson pick six, Texas was in total control. I was in the stands at DKR today.
I can tell by your voice. That's not volleyball. You guys call out to each other? You got 2-on-2? Hey, get there.
Look at my butt. Look at my butt. The call is down. The call is down. That's what we say.
Quadrant 9 left.
Crack left. Crack left. The crowd wasn't great today, Kevin. But
that wasn't the difference, though.
It wasn't the difference.
Neither was officiating. Neither was... This is talent and coaching adjustments.
It's...
Period.
It started with execution. A lack thereof, and what it really turned into in the second half. Because, by the way, Texas started to do something a little bit different at linebacker because they had to. Because DeMarvion Overshown, which, by the way, you're going to have to fill me in. I was at the game. I only saw him down, look like
he was
not going to be coming back. And I guess he was in street clothes at some point soon after that. But he and Brockermeyer end up not playing for a fair chunk of the second half. You saw two guys that were playing. Number 33, number 41. That's David Benda, and that's Jalen Ford.
And they were as good as them, by the way, which is not good.
I saw an improvement at linebacker. Was it?
Yeah.
Was it all-conference, all-American?
No, it wasn't Levante David and Devin White in Tampa, but...
Not even close, but what you did see is guys filling holes and making tackles.
Yeah.
Which is something that has been a big issue from play to play with these linebackers. But for whatever reason, 47 was back in the fourth quarter of this ball game.
He was, and that gets back to my talent deficiency, and I've been saying it forever with the offensive line, the defensive line. That is one thing I overrated in the preseason. But I've also been fluid and told you from day one, once the season started, they're not that good.
You were also sounding the alarm with the defensive line after the first game of the season when everybody else felt good about it, myself included.
And it's not good. The talent is not good here. Is that an excuse for Sark? No, but he's in year one. He's in game what? Now six, now seven? So give them time. Is he the right guy? I have no idea. But part of the toxicity in this drain and in this system is the get him out right away. It's all coaching. No, the talent sucks here. Understand that. And finally, I can come in here and actually really give you proof and say, no, you're up 17-3. This is where we're at. The talent is not good. You can even say quarterback included, but all around. The talent is good at number five, period. And the coaching has to adjust to that. Ooh, the coaches know. Coaches have to adjust to that. And they've got to figure out their talent and try and work around it. But the more you have to work around, the more Rosie O'Donnells you have to get around to get to that corner and to actually get through the hallway, it can be a lot tougher. It was a random shot at Rosie O'Donnell, but...
You know, she's kind of earned it over the years.
Yeah. You're a health guy. It's on her.
If you would like to chime in, you can do so. 447-3776. John, do we have people on the phone lines right now?
Oh, yeah.
Do we have Dwayne? Of course. Dwayne, call after a win sometime. But we always love you, Dwayne. Let's get to Dwayne, right? Let's start off with Dwayne. Can we start off with Dwayne? I don't have the calls up here.
Look.
Dwayne, what are you seeing here, man?
Look, this team, look, I'm watching recruiting every year.
I know you are. And stop following it so much, right, Dwayne?
Yeah, but I'm just saying I don't ever buy these guys. Like you said, they hype. Oh, it's a Texas guy. He's used to be a three. We'll make him a four. Yeah. But the thing is, I'm just putting it like this. How does Oklahoma State consistently battle Texas or beat Texas at home and on the road with recruiting classes 30 and up? You know, because the only team other than Texas and Oklahoma that's ever been like top 20 recruiting is Baylor. And that was with Art Brown.
Yeah, but for a little time, right?
Other than with him, nobody else has recruited even close to that. So basically, Texas and Oklahoma getting top 10 classes almost every single year. But yet, these other teams with 30 and up classes are consistently battling them and beating them. Like you said, so the talent is overhyped. They're not the talent that you thought they were. And then in addition to that, I'm watching college football. I'm watching – it's Iowa, Georgia, Oklahoma State. They all win in the same way. They're running the ball.
Defense.
Playing defense.
Yep.
The only difference is Georgia is 10 times more talented than Oklahoma State and probably like 5 times more talented than Iowa.
They're freakish in the front six.
That's the only difference. It's simple football. They're out there because Georgia is not spectacular. They couldn't even score against a below average than norm Clemson team, right?
No, yeah. this is a flawed year in college football.
It's a fun year, yeah. Though.
Fun year for sure.
Yeah, but I think Texas will get much better. But, they're 4-3. And you just got to say it. Their defense can't stop nobody, and they get worn down. Every time they get worn out and fall apart in the fourth.
They can't. But, Dwayne, let me ask you, because you watch college football like we do. You've seen PK at Washington with the Buda Bakers, the Vita Veas, the Greg Gaines, and those are the talented guys. But he works around his talent, and they're a good tackling team, and they've been an incredible defensive team the last 10 years. We know what Sark does offensively as a play caller, outside of being a head coach and managing everything. If you know those two guys and have seen their track record, where do you put all this right now if they're having performances like the last 2 weeks in the second half, man? That's talent, is it not, Dwayne?
Yeah, but maybe you look at what some people say. Look at Sark's record at Washington. Look at his record at USC. And that dude, winning percentage is like 57%.
It is. He took over an 0-11 Washington team. And USC, we know the issues he was dealing with.
But he has also struggled, Dwayne, to your point, on the road and against ranked teams, and we've seen both of those things rear their heads this year. Now, is there a talent discrepancy greater than what a lot of Texas fans realize now? Absolutely. What I'm starting to wonder about, though, Dwayne, and tell me if I'm onto something here, is this Texas football team wears down in the second half. At some point, do you ask the question about the strength and conditioning program and ask if they were doing a little bit too much in the way of whatever else, mobility training, flexibility stuff versus
P chart,
the actual not P chart versus
smoothie
the actual
machine.
Resistance training, making sure that you are also training strong to go along with everything else that you're trying to do, because there were, Kevin, or there are, I should say, a lot of guys whose strength, physical strength, was an advantage right now who are routinely getting pushed around, especially in the second half of games.
Yeah, and that can get back to technique, and that get back to all the coaches. So I'm not trying to take anything off of the coaches. I don't know any of them. I'm not holding water for any of them. I've just seen this for a long time in my lifetime here in Austin. And it's very easy to go straight to coaching in year one of a regime when you're trying to turn around three bad regimes. Well, Kevin's only two. No, the end of Mac, three bad regimes. And at the end of the day, Mac started this whole deal by being so selfish and not leaving when he should have left, which is another win by Bob Stoops over Mack Brown, as I've talked about.
You could also throw the ego of wanting to try and turn into a power running team after that Alabama
that.
Game into the equation.
And Charlie was bad. Herman was bad. I thought Herman would be good. I was wrong about that. I still think Sark would be good, but I don't. We'll wait and see. I have no idea with Sark, PK. I've seen them as coordinators in other spots and watch a lot of college football and thought, oh, they're pretty damn good. And so they're not, certainly PK and Sark in the second half with adjustments, they're not getting around and adjusting to the lack of talent they have. But I am kind of sick of being told that I'm wrong and being negative and that I hate Texas, being born and raised here and was bleeding orange. There's a picture of me at 6 years old when they lost to A&M in 84, and I was beyond depressed, manically depressed with my face. I'm sick of being told that. We see this. Let's start to wrap our head around that and be realistic about it.
Well, you and I have gone through the...
I also picked Texas to cover today, so I'm wrong about that. I get that. But I've been right about what this team is and what they're not.
You and I have both gone through the emotional, immature reactions to things that are happening, good and bad, for this Texas football program throughout the course of our lives.
Been half my life.
At this point, you and I are both a little bit more stoic about things than ever before. And you came in fired up, and you and I yelled about it prior to these microphones turning on this segment.
We did.
But at the end of the day, I think you and I both have level-headed...
Sorry for the bruise.
I'll charge you later for it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You and I both have, I think, a very level-headed response to what's going on right now. And it's understanding that... Is there blame to go around? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, if these coaches oftentimes are putting their players in position to succeed, then at some point it's up to the execution happening. And if the execution isn't happening, it comes down to these guys not necessarily being as talented as some nerd in a parent's basement who is trying to gauge what they are or are not at the age of 16 or 17 may not be right as well. And I think we are seeing... less talent versus what the stars suggest play out over these last couple of games and versus Arkansas in the second game of the season.
Agreed. There's not one formula. This is a cocktail. So there's different stuff that goes into it. This is a mole, if you want to. Mexican mole.
Chocolate.
Good one. Chocolate, cinnamon, 32 ingredients. You got to slow it slowly and mix them in. Or stir it slowly and mix it in at the right time, you know? It's one of those, but it's probably not even a mole. There's probably three or four ingredients that are into it. And so we can argue over which one more is, that's more of that, that's more of that. The reality, though, what I will argue is the biggest ingredient, so 50% on, and probably a lot more than that, is talent. And it's not the talent they had at a young age. It is a talent they have after being maybe miscoached with bad habits and bad muscle memory and bad experiences and what they are right now in college football.
The thing that concerns me about this particular Texas team, especially on defense, is that they were better at a lot of the technical stuff last year. And it is a lot of the same guys playing those positions this year as well. Do you have Joseph Osai? No, you don't have that game breaker on your defensive line anymore.
Which is huge. He was also better against the run than people think.
No question. But at the same time, there are guys failing so miserably, not just in the position that he used to play, but in other positions as well, at every single level.
Yeah.
I do wonder if how Steve Sarkisian chose to go about putting together this defensive staff was the right way to do things, where he actually had position coaches in place before he had ever decided on Pete Kwiatkowski as his DC. Now, Kwiatkowski gets to bring, I'm going to call him Choate, maybe Choaty, in as his linebackers coach. But at the same time, we didn't know how these dudes were going to jive necessarily. And things really do not feel very copacetic on defense right now.
No, and he also hired a guy from Notre Dame, and I talked to the top Notre Dame guy out there, Brian Driscoll, who's a former coach, former college football player, knows that team and that program better than anyone. Called him, said, "Yo, B, what's up, man? Terry Joseph, enjoy. Go look at the Washington boards or talk to them when they lost Kwiatkowski. So that's the Jimmy Lake of the Kwiatkowski experience that we saw at Washington. Lake, defensive, secondary, calling the back end plays. They coordinate, literally coordinate together and work the front end and the back end and then call from there. So
wait a second. Joseph is coordinating the entire secondary?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
I did not realize
that. He's a Jimmy Lake back there. And,
okay.
And by the way, that's also not our biggest problem. I mean, our DBs are space cadets, but they have been for 10, 15 years. So, and these guys for 3 or 4 years. That's why I love the turnaround. These guys are going to turn it around. No. If the 10-year-old can't catch the fly ball in Little League, he's not going to at 12.
People were saying that about the tackling this week. I'm like, guys, do you not understand?
No,
this doesn't
that didn't clean up over a week.
That's something that you have to work on in the offseason. We saw it last year. This was a terrible tackling football team for Texas going back to 2019. 2020, they got better because they were working on the rugby tackling style all offseason, but it took an entire offseason and a couple of games into the year before it finally set in.
Back to the phone lines. John, you've been hanging. We appreciate it. John, number one, you are up next. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
We got you, John. What's up, man?
Okay. Driving home from the game, guys. Had some awesome seats in the end zone.
Mm.
We're lifelong Oklahoma State fans. What do you think about the turning point in that game being that pick six interception there in the middle of the second quarter?
It definitely was because Texas is up 17-3. They're driving down. It's everything Oklahoma State has done all year. I mean, John, I watched live and then rewatched a couple of times. I've watched every Oklahoma State game this year, and you can say it's complimentary football. It really hasn't been. They're 3 of 6 from field goals. Their special teams analytically is ranked very high. They've got a good run defense. I like Malcolm Rodriguez. Trey Sterling would have been back in the back end. They would have been, with Harvey Peel, would have been really ready to go. But this is just a good football team that can play 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And Gundy played it that way and knew at 17-3, let's hold our water. Let's keep this thing close. And let's just make this a tight game. And the tighter it got, the more Texas really just puckered, and the more Oklahoma State got confidence and thought, we're going to do this.
This is a football team that really played,
by the way, welcome to town.
What was being asked of them on both sides of the ball. They got burned at times, but they kept a certain level of fundamentals in place.
Yep.
To where they kept doing their job over and over again. And
with a bad quarterback.
Spencer Sanders, and I saw people suggesting this on Inside Texas on the message boards this week. Spencer Sanders is the same, if not a slightly worse quarterback versus what he was as a freshman. And what I saw on the message boards is, this is also what you saw his junior year in high school as well.
For
whatever
Denton
it's
Ryan.
Worth. At Denton Ryan.
And by the way, I understand giving him a ride. Because he's got a big arm, he's athletic, and there are quarters or plays where you go, this guy could be an All-American.
Sure, but for
so inconsistent.
Though. For the last 3 years, I have seen Mike Gundy routinely run the football on third and long situations. I'm not talking about like third and long, like 5 or 6 yards. He runs it on 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 12, because he doesn't trust Spencer Sanders to hit the throws.
No.
And you saw exactly why.
He ran it on 3rd and long here.
Exactly.
With a jag running back. Look, the Utah State kid, Jalen, he's a good back. I'm not trying to, but it's an average line with an average back, and he ran there.
Absolutely.
He didn't want to pick six.
And we've seen that happen routinely over the last 3 years, including in the red zone, too, because Mike Gundy realizes he has to take his points when he can get them, because his quarterback position has not been great for the last 3 years now and won't be great for another year unless he gets somebody else in there who can overtake Spencer Sanders. But Mike Gundy also has this football team playing a very fundamentally sound brand of football.
No doubt.
That includes a
no doubt.
Physical defense
yep.
and an offense that understands what its responsibilities are in the run game.
It's a mature, smart football team. It's a tortoise hair type football team, and they are the tortoise. They understand the long part of this. And catch some breaks. Let's be smart, and let's try and get out with a dub. That's exactly what they did.
Phone lines are jammed, 447-3776. Christina, you are on the line now. What's up?
Hi. Are you there?
We got you, Christina. What's going on?
Hey, I just wanted to say, okay, so the last two games, we've lost it in fourth quarter. So that comes down to strength and conditioning. So what the heck are we doing with our strength and conditioning? We fired Mad Dog a couple of years ago. We got somebody else in, and we just can't cut it. Our offense isn't pushing the ball. Our defense isn't making the stops. It's just not happening.
Fair enough, Christina. And look, you're exactly right. You're obviously watching. You obviously know what you're talking about because they have not been good in the fourth quarter. Oklahoma State had not scored a point in the third quarter, and they got, what, three or whatever? I mean, they were able to do that. That has been Texas' biggest issue, and that can get into a couple things. Strength conditioning, as you talked about, is certainly the first one you would look at. So Mad Dog hired Benny Wiley, but Benny Wiley wasn't able to do exactly what Benny Wiley wanted to do. Whether he's great at it or not, he is the Oklahoma S&C guy and has been for, you know, a little while, strength and conditioning guy. And so we'll see kind of if Benny Wiley is that guy, but it's been an issue. Malik Jefferson is on practice team to practice team. A lot of that's on Malik. I get it. Some of it also is on the fact that he didn't do squats for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we go through Charlie Strong. So that was Mac and Mac had what, Benny and Mad Dog late. And then you get to what is it, Pat Moore?
Mm-hmm.
Or with Charlie, and then you get Tom Herman's guy, and Tom Herman's guys,
Nancy McKnight.
All Tom Herman we talked about is how much you're lifting. I mean, he was like a meathead dad who was doing steroids with his 12-year-old kid who's throwing curveballs at 9. You know, where it's like, you know how much he's lifting right now? All right, well, how agile is he? I mean, what's conditioning like? So that has been a big question, and it's a fair question. Where are we at there with Sark in year one? I don't know. I always laugh at – Trey, what do I always laugh at? I do with Paul on EGAT.
That every strength and conditioning coach is doing something completely different to revolutionize the game.
Joseph Pilates with a polio issue. In his village, he saved 100 people.
He's 150 years ahead of time. You're ahead of stuff with conditioning. Tell me.
Look, as far as the polio program goes,
I don't mean that.
We don't do enough with wheelchairs, like using heavy weights with wheelchairs. But I will say this.
Jesus.
I will say this.
No, I need to laugh right now. I mean, I'm apoplectic.
What I heard from the people I speak with in this program, around this program, this last offseason, with regards to Tory Becton, who is the strength and conditioning coach, there may be a different conditioning coach. I'm not sure what the setup is over there. What I heard about how he was conducting his business, though, is that early on, they were really focusing on the mobility side of things and making sure that these guys were moving like they needed to, like the movement planes were in a form, in a manner that was keeping these guys from getting hurt. And I think they did a good job with that. But I also wonder, from speaking with these same people, if they stuck with that entirely too long and didn't put enough focus into getting strong, into doing more in the way of resistance training, doing more with heavy weights, because it's when you're lifting those heavy weights that you understand the strength that it takes to not just start, but also finish off ball games.
You do the best interviews I've heard. I mean that. And I think Rogan does a good job. I mean, there are a lot of people that I think do a good job, but you kill it. You had someone on kind of talking about that last couple months, did you not?
I've had several people talking about that. Sal DiStefano from Mind Pump is one of those people, the resistance training revolution. And you cannot neglect resistance training. And when it comes to playing a sport, in a sport where your strength is the essence of whether or not you succeed or fail, you absolutely have to put enough time and energy into that. And look, I don't know what the exact program was for Texas this offseason. What I do know, though, Kevin, is that these last two games, and really going back the last four games now, this Texas football team is one that does not look as in shape as its opponent, even going back to Texas Tech.
It's fourth quarter.
And TCU as well.
Fair. Very fair. That's Trey Elling. I'm Kevin Dunn. This is the Texas Postgame Show here on the Austin Radio Network. Full lines right now, but we're going to hang around as long as we can. 512-447-3776. Ryan, you've been hanging. Ryan, you always call. We appreciate it, man. You put time for underclassmen, or John did, under your deal. Man, I would use this off week and let it go. All jobs are open.
Hey, man, KD. First off, I love hearing how fired up you get. I don't hear it often, so it's great.
That was awesome.
I take the same flack for being negative from my buddies, too, but it's not being negative. It's being realistic. And listen, at the end of the day, I'm not going to belabor the point that you guys have hit. There's a talent deficit, and it's plain to see. And, you know, Texas fans, at my advice, stop watching hype videos on Twitter. Stop watching hype videos online. Just stop, because it doesn't mean anything. And listen, I think at this particular point, the new ceiling, and I mean – absolute highest ceiling is 7-5. That's it. But Texas fans, stop worrying about the record. Stop worrying about where we end up this year. We're playing the long game. If I'm Sark, I'm going to CDC this off weekend. I'm saying, you give me 4 years. You give me guaranteed 4 years. And at the end of that 4 years, if you don't like where we are, I'll walk away and I'll forfeit my money. But you cannot hold him accountable for this. There's a lot of issues. I thought today was a very Tom Herman-esque ball game plan, especially offensively. I don't know why they continue to attack the one aspect of the game that Oklahoma State defended the edges as good as they could write a textbook on how they defended the edges today. And we kept going after it. And we especially kept going after it when we needed to get points. And it was never there. It was never there at the beginning. It was never there in the middle. It was never there at the end. We kept attacking it. That is on the coaches. Number two, back to the underclassmen. Just get rid of the seniors. Get rid of the juniors and seniors. Go pick the freshmen, sophomores, maybe a couple of juniors, and say, who are the people that are going to help drive the culture of this program of the next 1, 2, 3 years, and focus on them. And guess what, Texas fans? We're going to lose a few more games, but we're going to anyway. But at least let's go in with that mindset. And the final thing I'll say is I think we are seeing – I'm not blaming this game on Casey Thompson. I have no complaints on Casey Thompson last week, who played a hell of a game. There are about two or three really good players on this team, and everybody else is just a bunch of dudes. But I think we are starting to see, the more we see of Casey Thompson, we're starting to see a little bit more of why he was never, ever going to compete with what's-his-name, Ellinger, for the starting point, and why he was not picked to come into this year. We are seeing that more and more. I agree, and I understand why they went with him, because Card's a young kid. Terrible offensive line. It's going to get him killed, rattle him. And Casey's got a little bravado that I like. But his ceiling, we are at it, my friends. We are at his ceiling. We are at as good as he's going to get. And I don't know what to do with that. But I'll tell you this. Here's my guarantee, gents. By the end of this season, he ain't our starting quarterback. I'm going to tell you that right now. He is not our starting quarterback at the end of the season. And I think he's a great kid, and I love him.
Yeah.
When you're playing the long game, he ain't it.
We all do. Ryan, appreciate the call.
Thanks, Ryan.
And I try and hold my composure, because I'm doing a 4-hour show every day, and I'm also older, and I've been watching this stuff since I was in the womb. I mean, about that. And so you know me, Trey, we're best friends. I mean, I can kind of laugh stuff off, but today was, especially with what I saw with a lot of people that are following Texas football, it's so easy to get on coaching. And the coaching was not good in the second half. They're not making adjustments. I will repeat that. We can have multiple ideas here, but this is a concoction of stuff. And the reality is that I've been screaming forever. Talent's not that good here. It's just not. It's not, including at quarterback. And Paul and I got drilled for our EGAT a couple weeks ago when we got on Casey after TCU. Casey was really good against Oklahoma. Casey has a lot of limitations. And this whole team does, outside of number 5, outside of 5. And I'm talking offense 5.
We saw what happens when he doesn't step into throws today.
Yeah.
It happened on the pick 6, and it also happened on the interception that sealed the game for the Cowboys.
Right. And touch, too much air, not drilling it enough, not putting enough zip on it. I mean, all that's very tough as a quarterback, trying to figure that out with each throw and every throw. How much touch, how much air do I put under it? When do I really try and put some zip on it? And how do I fit balls in there? And it came back to him. He has a brutal offensive line, which is why I said from day one he should do that. And the people that are telling me, and I called Paul on the way here, so I'm going to be busting his balls on EGAT. I hope Paul's listening right now. And said, you try and talk me into this offensive line being average this spring? F you. Like, you're right, Kevin. They're awful. And I don't care. I mean, you don't lose an awful left guard and have to readjust. And they had, at one point, they had to readjust to Kerstetter at center because Jake Majors goes out. Jake Majors was awful today.
He was bad last week,
with high
too.
Snaps. He had two false starts as a center.
Right.
Last week.
Right.
His whole line sucks. Period.
If you're offensive,
there's not one guy who should start on a good Texas offensive line here.
If your offensive line, Kevin, is relying on tenure to figure out who the starters are.
6-year senior?
Two of them now.
Right.
Two guys who,
behind bad offensive lines,
served their time and have earned the opportunity as a result. We've heard that rationale twice now. With Denzel Okafor, which, look, best of luck to Denzel recovering from that knee injury and moving on to a better life.
Yep.
And now we're hearing it with Tope Amade, too. And unfortunately, the proof was in the pudding with him today as well.
You're Alabama in a normal year, Notre Dame, Wisconsin, their offensive line sucked this year. Ohio State, those offensive lines. And you go, it's a 6-year senior. He's going to come in at guard, but he hadn't played. All right. He's got All-Americans and NFL draft picks ahead of him for 3 or 4 years. Not here. Mm-hmm. Not here. There's no talent, man.
He is Kevin Dunn. I am Trey Elling. This is the Longhorn Game Day postgame show. Coming up on the other side, we will get back to those full phone lines, including Joe and Austin. Texas Longhorns drop a tough one to Oklahoma State today. We'll discuss it more on the other side. This is the Austin Radio Network.
Now, back to the Texas Longhorn postgame show on the Austin Radio Network.
Thompson under center. Handoff. Bijan Robinson with the goal line. He's across. Touchdown, Texas. The Longhorns' opening drive takes it 75 yards in for a score.
Things looked good. A single drive into the game. The Longhorns get on the board 6-0 and then 7-0 after a single series. That is the first touchdown of the game for Texas, brought to you by Audio Visual Consultations. Whether it's the first touchdown, the last touchdown, or any touchdown in between, they all look phenomenal on a setup provided for you by Audio Visual Consultations. I know, because they provided us our dream home theater setup in the Elling living room. They'd be happy to help you out as well. Just go to avconsultations.com to see what they can do for you, and then give them a call, Kevin, at 255-8678.
Give them a call. They'll finish strong, too. They'll make sure the fourth quarter of their setup is really good. They won't get outscored or outgained 170-1.
Yeah, Warren had 122 yards in the fourth quarter.
No, I mean, they just got killed. So is some of that on coaching? Is some of that on, as our one caller talked about, strength and conditioning and endurance in the second half, in the fourth quarter especially? Yes, it's all there. I still think the biggest part of this whole equation is the talent. I didn't watch Pete Kwiatkowski at Boise State and then Washington for 10, 15 years. And Sark as an offensive mind and what he did. Sark's been a 15-year-old on a bus when they hit a bump. Okay? He's losing his stuff a little too quickly. Just think about the script and what you're trying to do, and there's nothing left there. I don't think he has anything to adjust to. He's got nothing to go to. And the offensive line, if we know football, even in 2021, is the biggest start of all that stuff if you want to really actually adjust.
I really wish. My biggest criticism of Steve Sarkisian today, if you were going to go for it right there on fourth down with about 4 minutes left at midfield, I understand your defense had turned into a sieve. Y'all probably weren't going to stop Oklahoma State.
Turned into one, yeah. Well, it had in this game. I get you, yeah.
Even though you knew they were going to run the football, and how could you not stop that? Go ahead and call timeout right there and figure out the proper play to run. versus trying to rush things and turning it into an awkward, sloppy Casey Thompson run for 0 yards.
I agree with that. He got a little too urgent and sped up the process. You want to have the pace and everything, but when you're at that point and this is nut cutting time, maybe go ahead and take that breath and then go from there.
And we've seen that two of the last 3 weeks now.
We have.
Because it happened in the TCU game as well, where they went for it on fourth and short from the goal line and end up not getting it and becomes a ball game as a result.
You're right. Back to the phone lines. Kevin Dunn, Trey Elling, John Reichel's taking your calls, 512-447-3776. And let's go to Austin. Austin, you've been hanging. We appreciate it, man. What's going on?
Let me ask you guys. Can you hear me okay?
We got you.
Oh, I wish you would just continue there, Austin. That was just hitting the mark.
Okay. Let me ask you guys, you ever heard of what the great Vince said?
Vince who?
Let your balls hang?
No, I ain't talking about that. I ain't talking about Vince Young. We're back. I'm talking about Vince Lombardi. You've got to keep yourself in prime physical condition because fatigue makes cowards of us all. And I see cowards in the second half. I saw cowards in Arkansas. I saw cowards in Oklahoma. And I saw cowards today on the second half of this game. And what it is our fat boys ain't getting down and moving nobody. And when you look at high school football, it's part to blame that everybody's doing the spread offense and all these big boys don't know how to come downhill and open some holes. And that's where we're falling short, is we're not being able to control the clock, move the chains. And we got Bijan Robinson. I feel sorry for this kid. Arch Manning, if you're listening, run. Don't come to Texas.
Hey. Come on now, Austin. Come on. Let's take a breath here. Are we calling from College Station or something? Arch Manning, don't come here?
And Arch can't run that fast. I didn't help out there. I'm sorry. Okay. Malik Murphy could.
Oh, that's funny. You know, I'm split on the talent thing, Kevin, because there are guys that I saw getting the job done last year that aren't this year. But then I think about what's happening specifically at the linebacker.
I'm talking about 1 through 40.
I understand
that. I'm talking about a real football team. I'm not talking about Alfred Collins and Bijan.
I get it. But the defensive line was supposed to be the foundation of this year's team.
They're not.
They're not.
They haven't been from week one.
But they were.
Coburn's overrated. Sweat's overrated. They're all overrated.
But these guys were
doing. The other levels suck, and we knew it.
These guys were doing a better job last year, though, which is part of the problem.
Fair enough.
But then I think about the linebacker position
and
the
fact Chris Ash.
That our two inside linebackers
are got to walk on. You got
a guy who was brought here as a safety who was too light in the ass to play the safety position, and then a guy who was a legacy who was kind of good and walk on opportunity because you were trying to land his two brothers on the offensive line, and now he's a starter for you. Not to say anything against the effort that he gives. It's just about the talent that exists while he is trying to put forth maximal effort.
Rod and I talked about it this week on RBKD, and Rod goes, I love walk-ons, and I love Rod, but I go, I don't. No, I want a five-star whose parents got about $120K cash in the bag, in a McDonald's bag, or go Saban in Georgia. And there's a 401k plan set up for him his junior year with lawyers, and it's based on his production. And if he walks out his senior year, about a couple years later, very quietly, he'll be paid about $2 million.
Look, I love walk-ons if they're going the Brian Cushing route and not getting busted in the process in college, okay?
I want human beings.
Well, you know what? The mutants.
Primates doesn't count for me.
The mutants can be especially good if you give them the right substances to help them maximize their efforts.
Brian's definitely done that. Hey, back to the phone lines. And Joe, you're up next here on the postgame show.
Yes, for the second week in a row, we have the best running back in the nation. And the opposing running back runs for two bills. Why is that?
That's a great question, Joe.
And if you don't have talent, as KD says, how is it that you're up 28-7 and 17-3 and about to go up 24-3 if you don't have talent?
Scheming and scripting. Scheming and scripting, Joe.
In the first quarter, you're coaching to win the game. After that, you're coaching hoping not to lose. As for Ignatowski, last week, The reason Oklahoma ran the same play untouched into the end zone twice is because they identified your defense and you failed to identify their offense. That's why there was nobody in position to make the play. So coaching matters.
Coaching definitely matters, Joe, and you got the wrong poll lock. It's not Ignatowski. It's Kwiatkowski. I say that as a Mick, so we're all good here. But, yeah, look, coaching matters, but everything you just pointed out is scripting. So it's about adjustments, and their adjustments have not been good. Throughout the week, in setting stuff up, in seeing stuff on film, and especially Sark being able to go after stuff. I mean, Gundy said it. I heard Texas guys say it in the postgame. The adjustments were the difference. So, once again, I know we live in a very binary, just idiotic society now with politics and everything, where everything is 100% that way, 0% that way. No, there's a lot of stuff that goes into this cocktail once again. Coaching is part of it. At the end of the day, if you want to look at all the coaches that have come in here, including these, which are coordinators are really damn good at a high level in college football. If you want to tell me it's all coaching, stop it. That is part of the problem. It's not all coaching. The adjustments need to get better. I'm not trying to give them a break. You guys have been overrating the talent. But keep on paying that $9.99 a month.
Pete Kwiatkowski clearly doesn't wear a mask from the hostess stand to his table. Back to the phone lines now.
Does,
and Jeff, you're up next. What's up, Jeff? How you doing today?
Hey, guys. I love your passion, but I got a couple of bones to pick with you.
Go
One,
for it.
I was texting with a good friend of mine who went to OSU. And
Barry Sanders?
17-3, he basically said, blowout on. Because he knows his team. He's seen his team over the years, and he knows what they're capable of doing. He's seen Spencer Sanders and how he's a turnover machine and how he doesn't throw the ball well at times and such. So to sit there and say that Casey Thompson is a horrible quarterback, doesn't belong, you know, doesn't have the talent, blah, blah, blah. OSU pretty much is in the same boat. My concern problem with you saying
– Jeff, who said that, though? Well, we didn't say Casey Thompson is a horrible quarterback with no talent.
Well, I mean, one of the previous callers.
Okay, all right.
I'm just picking up on that.
Gotcha.
But my problem in when you said that the talent, you know, and the previous caller also brought this up, you know, how did that talent get up to a 28-7 lead, a 17-3 lead, you know, driving down the field?
Yes, yeah, scripts.
My problem with Sark is if the script is working, why can't we keep using the plays that are working?
Because they adjust to it, Jeff. Jeff, I mean, I love your call, and I'm going to keep you on here, man. I'm trying to cut you off, and I am, but because they adjust to that. It's about adjustments. The coaching staff has been awful at adjustments. I'll be the first to say that, man.
Offensive staff especially.
Yeah, Jeff, continue. Sorry about that, man.
I did see Bijan on an outside zone run in the second half. After adjustments had been made, he knocked off a pretty good game. And then they come back, and they try to run between the tackles with Keelan Robinson. What a horrible play choice.
Agreed.
Completely agreed with that, especially after they...
Keelan's a stretch outside guy. Get to the edge and let him cut back if he needs to.
That's a carry meant for Roschon Johnson. If you're going to give that carry to somebody other than Bijan Robinson, you're absolutely right about that, Jeff.
Two more points. There were a couple of plays. When you go back and you watch it, the middle was open. A quarterback draw certainly would have gained 20 yards. A couple
Screen.
Of plays. I mean, it was... I mean, something, but throwing those little passes outside, they were going to cover that all day long. That wasn't going to get you anything. And then the other point I have, and this one really, really bothered me about Sark's game management. When Casey got hurt, came out for a play, why did they hurry that play to end the third quarter? Give Casey some time. I mean, he just got knocked out of the game. He was obviously shaken up enough. There was no need to run that play quickly. Why wouldn't you wait, give him a chance to, you know, catch his breath, get out there, let it flip the field, go out for start the fourth, third down play to start the fourth quarter and, you know, get yourself set instead of trying to rush a play, throw an incomplete pass. Now you're turning the ball back over to him.
Fair.
That, I thought, was horrible.
Jeff, you make some good points, man.
I'd like to bring up something that I observed that I shared with you early on in the football game. And look, I understand he had another typical Bijan Robinson game. It wasn't TCU necessarily, but they didn't ask him to go TCU. He was great in this game. Bijan Robinson may be a little bit dinged up for a couple of weeks. He went through something early in that game.
It's like first possession you texted me that. What are you doing, man?
It was something that was
left knee?
Very similar to what happened versus Texas Tech last year, where his body got bent in a direction where, like with the Texas Tech game last year, it would have decapitated 95% of us. What I saw on either that first or second possession, it's something...
Decapitated or incapacitated?
Decapitated. Okay, literally wow. Taking the head
all right, off.
All right. In this particular game, it's something that probably would have torn every single one of our CLs. And I'm talking about 93% of you out there. But Bijan Robinson shook it off. I think he stayed in the game, as a matter of fact.
Stayed in the game the whole game.
But there was something going on with him after that. And I realize he had a couple nice runs after that, but he didn't have that same cutting explosiveness that we've become accustomed to over these last few years now. So that's something we need to keep an eye on going forward.
Great. Yeah, take out the uber-talented guy on the roster. All right, hey, we're going to try and go till 5 o'clock here. John, I know you're going to kill us, but we got full phone lines right now. Actually, we have one line open, so 512-447-3776. Let's get Richard. He's been hanging for 33 minutes, and then we'll get to Jose after the break, and Mike, and Michelle, and Pablo. Richard, you're up next year. What's going on, man?
As I watch this is Sanders walk into the end zone in a highlight reel, man, okay, number one thing I want to say, I don't care about coaching pretty much right now. All of y'all have been playing football since y'all pretty much what, 10, 11, 12 years old. You know how to make a damn tackle. Yeah. You know how to wrap up. You know how to get someone on the ground. You know how to make a block. You know what a hold is. You know what that hold is. You know how to hold your water. So this goes to your point, Kevin. It's talent, man. It's talent. It's the Brockenmeyers that are in Alabama right now. Yeah, they might be on the bench right now, but I promise you, next couple of years they're going to be some stars. It's mind-boggling.
And Richard, they would, especially Tommy, they wouldn't be on the bench here. That's the point about talent, right? They're on the bench in Alabama. They'd be starting here.
They would be, and that is the problem. And so until we actually get back to the days we have, Casey Studdards and Lyle Sinlines and things like that, we're going to see this each and every week. But my number one problem, kid, I saw it too. He did, Bijan did look a little banged up, but man, like it's Bijan. You got to feed him, man, especially on a third down. Do a fake. Oh no, that's what I want to say real quick. That y'all see that one formation that kept on, they put the running backs right next to each other. I knew it was coming when they that is a terrible play call. If you're gonna do something else, you got to do something, just kind of throw or something. You can't do that. But I want to give Sark a chance, man. I know it's super 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 early, but man, this is getting aggravating super fast. I'll shut up and listen, man.
Understand, Richard, man. We appreciate it. And I would just say give them time. The All-American I talked to last night, who has seen a lot of this, he just said, you're going to have to give him time. It doesn't mean he's the right guy. But and sometimes you have to make decisions and give people time, even though you're not sold, if they're going to be the right guy for the job. But the alternative is you're just going to continue to rinse and repeat, which is what Texas has done.
It is. All right.
One year in.
Those of you on the line, stay on hold. Coming out on the other side, we will get to you. We are going all the way up until 5 o'clock today. So if you'd like to chime in, please do so. 447-3776. He is Kevin Dunn. I am Trey Elling. This is the Longhorn Game Day postgame show here on the Austin Radio Network.
Now, back to the Texas Longhorn Postgame Show on the Austin Radio Network.
Bijan Robinson offset to his left side. On fourth down and three, Thompson the snap. Back to throw, pressure coming. He's going to try to run for it. He's not going to get it. Oklahoma State makes a stop, and they'll take over at the Texas 42-yard line. Brock Martin on the tackle for the Cowboys.
Back here on the Longhorn Game Day postgame show, I am Trey Elling, joined alongside by Kevin Dunn. And that was our Brain Vault hit of the game. Such a CF play. if I'm being very blatant, if I'm being very blunt about it, on a 4th and 3, Texas has the football with about 4 minutes left in the game from close to midfield. And I guess it was a pass attempt on 4th and 3. Casey Thompson ends up facing immediate pressure and has nowhere to go. Texas turns the football over right there. And unfortunately, Oklahoma State put the game away soon after that. But our brain fault hit of the game, Kevin, is brought to you by the great Dr. Greg Eckert.
It is. Talked to Dr. Yu this morning. He was at Bevo Boulevard. He's got his family. He's got season tickets, his beautiful wife, and he's eating a Brazilian sandwich. He's like, man, this is so cool here. And we were excited about everything. I'm sure he was excited after the first quarter. But Dr. Yu's the man. He's the best dentist in town. But the biggest thing with Dr. Yu and Brain Vault is it's a mouth guard that is designed to reduce the risk of concussions. So he played college quarterback, Texas Lutheran, I believe, got knocked out, became a great dentist, said, how can we put all this together? They got scientists from really all over the country. I mean, David Camarillo, who's Stanford University Cam Lab, Robert Cantu, executive director of concussions, and was at Boston Medical University. Kind of two big names there, at least schools. And they've been working on this for about 10 years. The last 6 years, been testing that mouth guard with about 100 NFL players. No concussions in the NFL. So get to BrainVault.com. They can do customized ones for you. That can obviously be for football and your boy, or it can be for your young woman who's playing soccer or lacrosse, any of that stuff. But concussions are a big deal, and that'll help out. There you go, BYU. I need some money today, Trey.
Oh, my goodness.
There we go, Jaren Hall. There we go, Jaren Hall. You can lose this game, help out the Big 12, but keep it within 6.
Or hurt the Big 12, because you're about to be a member of this illustrious conference. Baylor leading by
good
soon
point.
To be 3 right now.
I was talking more on my end.
Oh, okay, I see.
Not that I ever cared about the Big 12. But.
Well, you and every other Texas fan, myself included.
Right, including 96 on.
You know, I think about the bite that is the key for Brain Vault, Kevin. And bites are a lot like snowflakes. Every single one is different. And so that very standard mouth guard that we all got in junior high football, that was okay in junior high football when you're really not popping one another as hard as
you had to melt
potentially
it,
can
melt
do
it
so.
In the saucepan.
Had to melt it down, and unless you're Kevin
and then
Dunn.
Suck on it.
And unless you're Kevin Dunn coming off the edge and doing the 720 of quarterbacks and having them slam on their heads, like, it's not going to matter that much.
I broke his collarbone.
But it really does start to matter.
Trey's not lying about that.
Get into high school.
Do you know how many flags I would have gotten in middle school? Seriously. I would have been kicked out of every game right away.
I
would also do the Daniel Stubbs gun over them as they're knocked out.
I'm wondering if it
was a broken collarbone.
Merely a 720, or if it was more, it was closer to like a 900.
It's not a 720. So what's 360 times 2? 720, right?
Yeah.
All right, it was 720.
Well, I'm wondering if maybe
it was the handshake in the line afterwards with his mom with a broken collarbone, even in the early 90s when she's giving the look like, how dare you?
Are you sure it wasn't a full 900, though?
It may have been. I was so focused on my Daniel Stubbs shooting the guns that I wasn't focused on exactly his collarbone or anything, or even the football that was around there. All right, back to the phone lines. Jose, you're up next here. You've been hanging a long time, man. We appreciate it. We'll give you some time. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Jose?
Taking the call. I hope you guys are doing good. I know the game didn't work out the way we all hoped, but, you know, I kind of figured today was going to happen because of last week's just collapse. I didn't like that they just came out again and literally did the exact same thing, you know, race out to a big lead. But I don't think that the offense matches the defense, if that makes sense. Like, I think.
What do you mean by that?
You mean complimentary football, kind of?
Yeah, they don't blend. It's because, you know, I think when you have an offense like Sark's, I mean, it's very quick and they score really fast, which leaves, you know, the defense on the field a good amount of the time. But also, I think they don't allow them to, like I said, flow together. So, I don't know, that's just I know we hated, you know, the Tom Herman experience with the whole, you know, you got to play complimentary football, and it led to these really close games. But I feel like having this offense, as bend and break as they say that this defense is, it's not. You know what I mean? It's gaping everywhere. And I'm just thinking maybe the offense, you know, needs to rely on Bijan more, you know, and maybe not be so, you know, all gas, no brakes, so to speak. So that's just my two cents. But I just seeing this team, I can see the offense. It's flowing. They've got good chemistry. I think the running backs are the key, and we just have to rely more and not rely on Casey Thompson's arm, who's playing today with probably a bad thumb also, and nobody was really talking about that. So, I think it does matter, you know, the limitations on defense, you know, when it comes to the offense. You know, it has to match, and I just don't feel like it does. And I don't know. I mean, the defensive coordinator, he comes from a pretty good track record, but I mean, I don't think he ever did play calling on his own either. So it's kind of like, what are we really getting?
That's not true.
Yeah, he did call plays. I understand your Jimmy Lake take there, though.
The last good year that Washington had defensively, Kwiatkowski was responsible for calling plays.
Agreed.
He ceded play calling duties the year before Jimmy Lake ends up taking over for Chris Peterson because he was a great team player and wanted Jimmy Lake to stick around. So he gave Jimmy Lake play calling duties. Defense wasn't quite as good that year. Jimmy Lake takes over as head coach after that. Kwiatkowski theoretically gets play calling duties back, but I think that things were pretty compromised at that point. Look, I'm all about giving Bijan Robinson the football more. He did have 24 total touches in this game, and I do think that he was compromised in terms of the structural integrity of that left knee. He still did show some explosive moments. His stats were still outstanding, but you needed more out of this passing attack today, specifically Casey Thompson not throwing the pick six like he did near the end of the first half. And then also that interception in the second half, in the fourth quarter, was just a bad throw. He underthrew that ball badly. I think he would tell you that as much. And part of the problem here, Kevin, is that Xavier Worthy, for as great as he has been throughout the course of this year, as great as he was last week, is still a freshman. You're going to get some ebbs and flows there. You need that second guy to be able to step up. Now that they don't have Jordan Whittington, I'm not sure who that second guy is.
It was Marcus Washington early in the game from the slot where they dialed that up, but it's a great question. And where do you go? Because Texas has had problems getting off jam releases. We know Oklahoma State does that. Bunch formations and different formations can alleviate that and put that at bay a little bit, but you still have to get guys that can get open. The reality is, I mean, as I said, Paul and I got drilled for the Casey Thompson stuff. Probably because two white guys are talking about a black guy, because that's pretty simple, even though we love Casey. And the reality is Casey's going to have a lot of limitations there. Just like Hudson Cardwood, Casey's the guy I would roll with. He's the guy I would start. He's the guy I would start next week.
You were one of the few saying that.
But
when the announcement was made.
Yes, but it doesn't mean, I mean, everything can't be so, hate to say it, black and white, where that's the right decision, and that's going to be the way to go 100%. No, there are going to be things you have to scheme around with Casey as well. The first thing you scheme around with this offense is offensive line, and then you go from there. Your strength is in the backfield. You've got some receivers. Make a good point. Whittington being out, you got to play with that a little bit. But your receivers and your offense and your quarterback, you still have to kind of work around their weaknesses. The problem is the offensive line is one giant weakness.
It is. And
what is the strength there? You tell me.
You're right about
Junior
that.
Junior Angelau run blocking?
You are limited with what you can do there, but I think at the same time, they need to do a better job of mixing things up in the second half. One thing that frustrated me in Dallas last weekend is that they were remaining very vanilla with everything that they were doing in the second half of that game. That included how they were getting Bijan Robinson the football. I loved the first play of today's game. They had Bijan Robinson lined up out wide, sent him in motion, and got him to the football moving at close to full speed that first play of the game. And he got a big gain as a result.
Yep.
We needed more of that throughout the game, but they seemed resigned to slumping back into their standard play calling throughout the rest of the game, but especially in the second half.
They did. And lack of adjustments, that's on Sark, that's on PK, but we have to be able to look at this as adults and try and figure out that, okay, you know, if you've got two really crappy kids, which you don't, I'm Uncle Kev, but if you did, I wouldn't bust your balls completely as being the worst parent in the world if you're trying to work around your really crappy, awful kids that are just bad people.
You hung that point a little bit long when you were saying that. Are you saying something about Viv and Cal?
No, I'm not. I love them. Not at all. Mike, let's change the subject here. Mike, you've been hanging for a long time. Mike, you're up next, man. What's going on?
Hey, how y'all doing, guys?
Good, Mike. What's on your mind?
So I have just a couple things. Y'all watched the baseball game, I'm sure.
Yep.
And the umpire walked off the field and did an out on a BS out call. That's what basically...
Hold on.
Are you talking about the check swing?
What the defense did. They just said, no, we're out. We're done.
Wait a second.
Are you talking about the check swing in the Dodgers-Giants? You're going to be confused here, Mike.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
The check swing?
Yeah.
If you watch the umpire...
First paid umpire. No, he was ready to go. He had reservations.
The same thing the defense did today. They said, oh, we're out. We're done.
Okay.
We're going to lose.
Mike, I'm glad you brought this up. Stay on the line. We're going to let you continue your point. I need to ask Kevin something real quickly, though. Did the Texas defense intentionally give up that touchdown that turned it into a 7 and then an 8-point game? Because they did completely give up on that play.
Yes, and it was the right call, and I would have gone for 2 if I'm Gundy.
And I would have too, but I was just making sure. Like they all just kind of stood up and let the touchdown happen.
And it's the right call.
Okay. Totally get that.
Because they're going to melt that kick a field goal ball game.
I agree with that.
Okay.
Not at all upset with that, but in real time, I was having a hard time deciphering what had just happened
They would have kicked a field goal. They would have melted that all the way to nothing and then scored a touchdown. So you give your crappy offense and your crappy offensive line and your average quarterback and your receivers a chance to do what they did.
Mm-hmm. All right, continue.
Play to win the game. You don't understand what he was trying to do. At the same time, you don't just let them go. Who does that? I don't understand that. I mean, I love Sark and I love, oh, his wife is fine as hell, but at the same time, y'all made me snort.
L'Oreal is hot. I'll give you that.
I don't know if I'm wearing the same exact outfit that she is from week to week, but.
Yeah, Mike, you're right. I mean, so hold on, Mike. Are you talking about the defense gave up in the second half or just that one play to where they're trying to get the ball back and they know they're going to be down 8?
I understand, Kevin. I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
Yes, they did run into the end zone, but you don't do that. It's like, I don't even know who does that. I mean, yeah, okay, we'll get the ball back, but you're trying to teach these kids how to play ball and win a goddamn game. Yeah. Not sit here, okay, let's let them score. Let's go back and forth and let's score back and forth. No, come on, let's win the game.
I'm going to need to go back and rewatch that one. Here's what I'm going to say about that, though. I think Texas still had 2 timeouts left there, and yes, you end up with less time on the clock, but you do try and fight to keep them out of the end zone, and if you do a good enough job, then you are only having to get a field goal going the other direction, and you actually
understand.
Did have the wind at your back, too.
It's fair. Look, we get into analytics now and everything, and everyone, especially analytical people, want to very quickly, it's like the woke crowd to be like, you're so wrong, you're so behind the times. I'm not going to say that to both y'all. I think this is a fair argument.
There's a conversation.
It's a conversation, and it's an argument, and there's no clear right or wrong answer. But I will say, in that situation, I kind of understood what they were doing. I understand Mike's point that you already kind of have a loser mentality on defense, or at least a let's bend, not break, and you don't want to add to that mentality. At that point in the game, the way it was going, the way that they were moving, I understood that. Did I have any hope that Texas would come back and score a touchdown and go for 2 and make it? Absolutely not.
No, I didn't either.
As much as this offense has gone up and down the field, at that point I thought, God, this 80 feels like 150.
And Casey Thompson threw an interception, I want to say 3 plays after that touchdown was scored. Hey, real quick, we're going to give you the Longhorn Player of the Game. It's actually not a Longhorn. This game. It is just a player of the game. It goes to an Oklahoma State player. It's sponsored by Whitestone Breweries Hop Water. We got to give it to Jalen Warren. 33 carries, 193 yards. He's really not a game-breaking running back necessarily, but
no, not at all.
He does give you a solid job.
He's solid.
And when he's going up against a run defense, it's as bad as playing its fits.
Bingo.
And finishing off its tackles like the Texas defense is. Then, yeah, he's going to be a good candidate for the player of the game. Whitestone Brewery's Hop Water. It is a phenomenal drink. You've heard me talking about it for a couple of months now. It's good on its own. It is good with your favorite adult beverage. I love one part hop water, one part gin, half a lime. You can pick it up now at many HEBs across town. Also, Total Wine and More. And, of course, you can pick it up at Whitestone's headquarters on 1431 in Cedar Park. Check out more at whitestonebrewery.com.
Michelle, Shep, and Jim, in that order, hang on, because Michelle, you're going to be up after Pablo is up. Pablo's been hanging for about half an hour. Pablo, you want to talk about the secondary? What's on? What's up, brother?
Hey, you guys got me?
We got you, Pablo. What's up, man?
Hey, so there is a 0% chance that this team can wind up in OSU, right? Because OU and OSU would both have to lose three times each, right?
You're talking about Big 12 championship game?
Yeah.
Yeah, you broke up there a little bit. I don't know about zero chance, and I haven't even looked at it here. I mean, I'm so day-to-day and minute-to-minute with this team that the Big 12 championship is not what I'm thinking about, but you may be. I mean, obviously, it's an uphill grind, and you need a lot of chaos for that to happen.
Yeah, and guys, we've got Baylor in 2 weeks, and all of a sudden, a game that felt like...
I just
like
saw Chip and Joanna.
Close
they look
to
happy.
A gimme at the start of the season is anything but. That game is in Waco. That's going to be a very difficult ball game. Continue.
I was going to say, the Brockenmeyer kid is such a liability in the passing game.
Yep.
That touchdown that they got, I mean, every team would just target him. Like, I don't really understand why he's in there, like, in the red zone. Like, I would throw at him every single time. But I guess the 2 points that I'd like to hear you guys talk about is, if you're like a high 4-star or 5-star and you've been on campus for 2 years and you're not anywhere on the field or seeing the field, then you're pretty much going to get jumped by somebody else, right, at this point. And then the second point that I'd like to hear y'all talk about is the team, they always seem to start off strong, and I don't see an identity. I don't see them good at anything. Like, at least Sam Ellinger, like, at least he would get everybody, like, juiced up and, you know, everybody would get excited. I don't see them good at anything. And I think Sark needs one more guy on the offensive staff. I just think calling the plays at UT, it's just too much. Like, it's just everything's on Sark to do everything. And I just think, I don't know, they seem to start really well and they run out of gas every time and they seem scared in the second half, like, here we go again. And it's just not a good pattern to be in. So I don't know. They recruit great, but I just think they should start playing the younger kids. Like, Keaton Crawford should be out there.
We got you, Pablo. We appreciate it, man. We're kind of on a time crunch here. You haven't seen that they're good at anything because they're not really good at anything. And that gets back to talent on my the point I'm making. And some of that is coaching and adjustments, but you take over this squad. And if you're a 4 or 5-star, if you're a 5-star and you've been lapped with the talent on the field right now, that's a you issue. Maybe that's coaching and the guy has an axe to grind, or he's just overlooking your amazing talent. But, I mean, we saw Tyler Owens go in the transfer portal. So maybe they're missing some of that. I will say this with Luke Brockermeyer. Binda and Ford aren't worse than him. And that is my problem. If you've got a walk-on on there who's getting exposed and has been all year, what the hell is he doing out there?
I almost hate to say this, but look, you want to be able to gauge guys based on what's happening in practice. But if what's happening in the game isn't matching what you're seeing in practice, and a great example of that, Kevin, is the quarterback position, you do have to try some different personnel pairings.
Yeah.
And we've seen what has happened at the linebacker position going back to the Louisiana game. And I understand that DeMarvion Overshown flashes, and he makes some really nice plays from time to time, and he has a bunch of little pieces of cloth tied up and down his arms and up and down his legs. But play to play, he is not somebody who is reliable, and that is even more so the case with Luke Brockermeyer.
Yeah.
You do have to try other guys at some point. Stop being the rat that continues to shock itself for the piece of cheese. Try a different strategy if something isn't working. And it's not like there is that big of a talent discrepancy between the starters in the backups to at least see what happens to those guys when the lights turn on.
From the coaching staff, I clear my mind. I clear my preconceived notions or my misconceptions or just my thoughts on players right now in this 2 weeks. Open it up. Keep it competitive and let everyone know this thing is wide ass open because we don't have talent anywhere. I would hold up, you don't want to do this, but I would point at five, not Deshaun Jameson, and say, that's the only guy who has a job. Y'all go. All right, back to the phone lines. Michelle, you've been hanging. We appreciate it. Michelle, you want to talk about player development? What's going on?
Hi, guys. I know we talk about this often, and it's not, we have these gorgeous facilities, and I know that's what we need in order to attract, I guess, the big-time players. But my issue is, are we catering too much to the egos of the four-stars and the five-stars where we've lost our heart. And I feel like, a couple of years ago, I actually was really disenchanted with the football team, as we all have been. And I actually applied for a coaching position.
Nice, nice. Good for you, Michelle.
I coach my son's flag football team, and I love the offense, and I think there are plays that are just a thing of beauty, I love messing them up. So I love defense. And my 16-year-old said I'd be the meanest coach out there. but I think what we need is we need to remind these guys that nobody gives two craps how many stars you come in with.
No.
Like, raise your hand and give a rat's butt. Nobody does. What matters is you play for the team, the name that's on your chest and the name of your family on your back, and you get out there and you play smash-mouth football. We have lost our heart. You shouldn't have multi-million-dollar facilities and the band is scraping money together to get on the football field because we have a screen next to your locker that shows you highlights. I think it should show you every time you miss that tackle. You should put it in your face every damn day because I'm so tired of giving my heart and soul to this team, and I will tell you at the end of the day, next Saturday, I'm going to turn on that TV, and I'm going to wear my burnt orange, and I'm going to love this team with every piece of effort that I have. It's just killing me.
I understand, Michelle. We've been there. We appreciate the call. Glad you're coaching your son up. And, yeah, I mean, some of this can be about grit and heart. We had that call last week. I just think that's almost easy. It's hard to calculate and really understand how much of this is grit and heart. They don't seem like they have that because they're not playing well in the fourth quarter or the second half. And so what we're trying to figure out is how much of that is coaching, how much of that is talent, how much of that is endurance, strength and conditioning. And it's always hard to really put your finger on it. But clearly something's not working with this team late. And, yeah, I totally agree with you. The 4 and 5 star entitlement has been an issue here in every sport my whole life.
All right. He is Kevin Dunn. I am Trey Elling. One more segment to go here on the Longhorn Game Day postgame show. Try and squeeze your call in at 447-3776.
Jim and Shep.
Jim.
Or Shep and Jim in that order.
And Shep. Or Shep and Jim. Or perhaps you can find your way to the front if you have a better
TV
point
show.
Than either of those two guys.
Jim and Shep or Shep? You'd probably go Jim and Shep, but we're going to go Shep and Jim.
Shep and Jim. Coming up next here on the Austin Radio Network.
Now, back to the Texas Longhorn Postgame Show on the Austin Radio Network.
Back it comes to Thompson. Casey flings it out left. It's intercepted. Picked off by Tanner McAllister. McAllister to the 35, and he goes out of the bounds of the 32-yard line, and that should do it.
Back here on the Longhorn Game Day postgame show, I am Trey Elling, Kevin Dunn alongside me, and that was the Top Gun Equipment Rentals top play of the game. It was the play that pretty much iced it for the Oklahoma State Cowboys, picking off Casey Thompson with an 8-point lead after they had gotten the 2-point conversion, and they were really able to run things down from there. Brought to you by Top Gun Equipment Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Find out more. Rent equipment. You can purchase it at a well at either of their locations, north or south. Go to topgun.net for more. And that's gun with two N's. Topgun.net. Boy, how about Purdue giving Iowa a ball game right now, Kevin? I know you're looking at the Baylor BYU game, but Purdue is up 17-7. It looks like what was a potential touchdown for the Boilermakers is going to end up as a touchback for the Iowa Hawkeyes, but Purdue leading that one in the second half. And how about the Baylor Bears? 5 minutes left in the third quarter. Baylor looks as if they are taking care of business over BYU 24-14. They have the football. They are driving. And that's the Longhorns' next opponent. And both Texas and Baylor have a bye after this week. That game being in Waco, I am officially concerned about Texas' ability to win that game. Because Baylor,
you should be,
much like today's opponent, much like the opponent last week, is a team that is physical, that likes to run the football, and plays
quietly
a
good
sound brand of defense. And this is something that has caused this Texas football team problems throughout the course of four quarters of a game.
They're about to go up 31-14.
Was that Ebner that just ran that in?
No, it's Smith.
Smith, okay.
I've had a really good year in college football. This is not going to be that weekend.
Okay.
I mean, I've been off on all of these. And that's the way it rolls. But give Baylor credit. They're about to go up 31-14 against BYU. It's been the run game. It's been the defense. They're quietly good. So, look, it's going to be week to week for this Texas team. And I said all spring and all summer long, this should be Sark and PK's toughest job to adjust around talent that they've had in their career, or certainly recently in their career. And, I mean, you can go back to Sark, 0-11 Washington, and Keith Price. You can go back to PK, Boise State, maybe first year at Washington. But they haven't done a good enough job of doing that, and we also can't put 100% on them because what's up to you, your coaches? You got to adjust to it. Well, if the adjustment is really damn hard, and I'm talking about the adjustment during the week. I'm not talking about second half adjustments, which I will get on them for. And Oklahoma State, once again, out-adjusted Texas like Arkansas and Oklahoma did in their three losses. But just trying to scheme around your deficiencies, which there are a lot on this team. And Texas fans don't want to wrap their head around that because, you know, they were told at 16 or 17 that these guys are lights out and are 4 and 5 stars.
Last caller of the day, Kevin, on the postgame show. Unfortunately, one half of our hypothetical sitcom decided to hang it up, but we do still have Shep. And Shep, you get the final word on today's postgame show. What's up, Shep?
Wow, boys, I'm honored. Thank you very, very much.
What's up, Shep? What's on your mind, my dude?
KD, I am a native Austinite, just like you.
Beautiful.
And
we're unicorns, Shep. We're unicorns, man.
We are, me and Craig Ware, the same age.
Okay.
So I've been in Austin a little longer than you, brother. And I listen to you boys every day, both of your shows.
Appreciate it.
And
Thank you, Shep.
You're welcome. And what I want to talk about was tight ends, or the lack thereof, because we don't have a tight end. Number 80, I don't know how many blocks that boy missed today, but it was several. And I don't even know if he caught a pass. I don't think he did. And we don't have any tight ends at all. And dude, that is a huge part of any offense. I mean, look at Rob Gronkowski. I mean, you take him away from Brady, that's a big deal. And we don't have any tight ends, man. I don't know. I don't understand it. But that's just one of a myriad problems that the University of Texas. I mean, we can't block. We can't tackle. We can't, you know, stop the run. We can't fetch water. But anyway, boys, I want to listen to you, see what you think.
We appreciate it,
Shep. Thank you,
Shep. You know, I thought the tight ends, and I've said that on the show, you listen to the shows, and I appreciate it. We definitely appreciate it, that I felt like the tight ends would be more involved, especially when you're trying to scheme around your biggest issue, which is the offensive line, and you're scheming around, to some degree, your quarterback, to some degree, your wide receivers. It's not nearly the degree of your offensive line, but a Jared Wiley, a Cade Brewer, a Gunnar Helm, to where maybe those guys would be more involved in whether it's delays and you're blocking and then releasing. You know, that's where I would have taken advantage of the middle of the field that was wide open. And I said that on Friday. Tight end delay. Go Greg Davis tunnel screen. You know that you got Rodriguez and Devin what's-his-nuts that are barreling, blitz barreling the A and B gaps and doing it a lot. Take advantage of that vacuum in that space.
Unfortunately, what's-his-nuts doesn't have to respect Jared Wiley as a blocker at all. And I thought that would not necessarily be the case after a couple of years in the program, but sure enough it is. It's like how Texas uses their tight ends is like how the New England Patriots have used their running backs for a long time. It's like, you know, whichever guy is on the field is a pretty good giveaway of what it is that you're trying to do. And I realize they're both out there at
whether
times.
It's run or pass.
But unfortunately, Jared Wiley is a weak blocker, and Cade Brewer is very limited as a pass catcher. Does he have good hands? Yes. But in terms of how dynamic he is when he gets the football, not so much. And they have not utilized Jared Wiley as a pass catcher, unfortunately, and I don't know why. I don't know if it's because they feel like they're limited with what they can do in the run game or if there's something else going on there. But unfortunately, that tight end position is one that continues to be a bit of a black hole for the Longhorns, Kevin.
It is. All right, that'll do it for us here. Thanks to John Reichel, doing a great job all day long. Quickly, final thoughts, man. I mean, this one just sucks. This was a big one. You got Arch Manning. You got all these recruits in town. You're up 17-3. You're driving, and you just get beat the rest of the way.
This team is not very good at finishing ball games, which speaks to a lack of conditioning, a lack of strength, and it's something that you are going to have to really think about throughout the course of the rest of this season and going into the offseason as well, Kevin. There's still plenty of season left to prove something, and you still have an outside shot at making it to the Big 12 championship game, but you've got to put that work in and get ready for Baylor in 2 weeks.
Like anything in life, you're not happy where you're at, and you want that process to speed up. And in your head, you want to speed it up more than life will allow you to do that. And that's a reality with the talent on this team and certainly the coaching. We'll talk about it all week long. B&E will get you started at 6 o'clock. Then you got Light the Tower. Then you got Shirts and Skins with Trey and Chad. And then Rod and I will give our thoughts on Monday. Y'all have a good day. Enjoy it. Hook 'em.
Hook 'em.